Scripture reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. This is a letter from Paul to the Corinthians. Let us listen to the Word of God. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. That parable helps us, I think, especially understand the generosity God gives us, especially when Paul talks about money. There's not scarcity or fear, but rather joy and generosity and obedience. In the lesson we just read in Corinthians, Paul makes three important points. First, you probably heard it, God loves a cheerful giver. Second, the reward of generosity is having enough. And then finally, we glorify God by our generosity. First, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, God loves a cheerful giver. I want you to imagine a dad who struggled to provide for his family all year, yet when their son yearns to play baseball but doesn't have a mitt, the parents decide to give up some of their own luxuries so they can buy him a present for his birthday. And it's worth it because they know how much joy it will bring their son. And finally, on the day of his birthday, all of the cares and the struggles seem to fade away for the parents when they give their son this wrapped present. With smiles on their faces, the boy is giddy with excitement. And certainly the child has no idea what struggle it took. All he knows is the joy his parents have. That's what it means when it says God loves a cheerful giver. Deuteronomy 15:10 says, give liberally and be ungrudging when you do so, for on this account the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and on all that you undertake. Cheerful givers make me think of family and friends throwing a shower for an engaged couple or an expectant mother, or giving presents at a graduation party. It makes us happy to give. And I think this is the kind of image God wants us to have when we give in worship, to be a cheerful giver, to give like it's a special occasion every time, like the Chipman shared. When we give in worship, we give to the fulfillment of the kingdom of God to help share grace and hope in a world that desperately needs it, especially this week. Spread light when there's a cloud of darkness, to help the needy and the poor in our world. And this act of giving should bring us great cheer. God will certainly bless our giving, and that should give us great joy. God loves a cheerful giver. And the second one, in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says this, God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. Paul uses the Greek word autarkeia, which means having enough or sufficiency. Essentially, what Paul is saying is this second point. The reward of generosity is having enough. The more we share abundantly, the more we realize that God has given us more than enough. When I was in Kenya, I found it absolutely perplexing to see people giving out of their poverty. The guards who kept me safe in the complex would share part of their bread with me, and we'd share stories together. Even when they barely made enough to feed their family, I had discovered a generosity that I'd never experienced before. If they could give to me out of their poverty and have enough, then I certainly could give. In fact, this is when I started tithing. In 2002, I made $300 a month, so my 10% tithe was $30 to the church. I had just earned a bachelor's degree that May. Some of my friends were making more than $50,000 a year, and yet my monthly income of $300 was more than the average Kenyan made in a year. I started walking more and taking cheaper transportation. I started saving what little I had so that I could give more away. I learned from the poorest in our world that the reward of generosity is that you realize God gives us enough. Philippians 4:12 says, I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. The more that we share, whether we have little or a lot, we discover the blessing and abundance and aren't worried about scarcity. And finally, our third point, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:13, that generosity is not solely for our satisfaction, so that we might receive joy or that we might receive a reward, but it's about glorifying God. We shouldn't be compelled to give generously because it feels good for us or because we want to get something out of it, but because it's an act of worship and obedience and it glorifies God. In this previous chapter, Paul says, for you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And similarly, we should be compelled by Christ's generosity to be generous to God and others. And when we are generous with our giving, we glorify our Creator, the one who became human and died for us. We honor the sacrifice Christ made for us. I want to tell you a personal story. Many of you know, last year I had a terrible accident with a power saw. It bit my hand, and I lost an inch of my left index finger. Now, positivity is one of my greatest strengths. As much as I stayed positive for the kids and for myself, as much as I laugh and look at the positive out of things, this was one that was hard to stay positive for. I remember the first time I saw my hand without my bandage in the mirror. I was just staring at my hand and sobbing. What have I done? I said. Another time, I remember I was trying to eat dinner. My hand was bandaged up, and I couldn't even eat. I couldn't even cut my food. And that's when I lost it in front of my whole family and started crying. I was so mad. I can't even eat chicken, Siobhan. There was this one Sunday I remember. An usher had found a letter with my name on it in the offering plate, and the person gave it to me, and I stuffed it in my pocket to look at it later. When I got home, I opened the letter, and it literally took my breath away. Tears started rolling down my cheeks as I read the note. I called out to Siobhan to come quick. "You have to read this." And she could see me crying, and the note said, "This is to cover all your medical expenses and more." And behind it was a large anonymous cashier's check. It was so generous, and just when we needed it, I didn't even know what to do or what to say. I didn't know how to thank the person who had just given so generously. I even wrote a thank you note, and it's still on my desk. Now, this wasn't the only gift that was given to us. In fact, so many others gave so generously in our greatest time of need. Yet I'm convinced that these kinds of gifts become an act of worship, an act of obedience that glorifies God. And this is what our gifts are like in worship. It's not to fulfill a budget or to keep the building together or for programs. It's actually about our relationship with God. Our giving is a window into our hearts. Because every time we give generously in worship, we glorify God. And that's powerful. Now, I want to encourage you to step up in your faith and giving without first doing it myself. And these reasons from 2 Corinthians are much of the reason Siobhan and I tithe 10% of our income to God. Right now, we give $500 a month, but next year, we're stepping up to giving $560 a month. It gives us such great joy to give generously to God. I encourage you to start somewhere, whether it's 5% or 6% or 7%, not as a legalistic rule, but as our response to God's generosity and grace and love to us. Grab a pencil or your phone and scribble this down. What is God calling me to give as a percentage of my income? It's a personal spiritual question. What is God calling me to give as a percentage of my income? And three kinds of people answer it in three different ways. Some people answer it by saying, "I feel God is calling me to give 10% of my income to the Lord's work. I've been thinking about tithing for several years, and I want to begin that spiritual journey this year." Another kind of person responds to the question like this: "Eventually, I want to begin tithing, but I'm not ready to do that this year. I feel God's calling me to start somewhere, to drive my tent pegs in the ground at 5% or 6% or 4%, knowing that God will bless that decision by helping me to increase my giving over the coming years." And a third kind of person has been tithing for many years. For example, a couple might have said years ago when they were just getting started, "We'll tithe now and later we'll do more." The years rolled by, and now they say, "Wow, do we ever have more? So much more that we cannot fathom how we arrived at such a high annual income. The 10% does not even come close to a sacrifice to us. We feel God is calling us to give 15 or 20% of our income to the Lord's work." As we prepare for our annual Stewardship Sunday, Consecration Sunday, I know each of you will be praying for God's guidance this week, answering that spiritual question: what percentage of my income is God calling me to give? Pray about it. Talk about it with your family, because giving is so exciting. The reward of generosity is having enough, and giving generously is an act of worship and obedience that glorifies God. And next week, as we turn in our cards, we'll consecrate them in worship. We get to glorify God together and celebrate as a family with a celebration lunch. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.